Hey everybody, I'm with Lainey Rowell and I'm so excited to be here with you. Lainey, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for having me. You are one of my favorite humans, and another one of my favorite humans. I would be remiss, Josh, wherever you are, I miss you. But I'm just so happy to get this chance to talk with you.
Yeah, me too, because there's so much to say. We cover information for schools and organizations that work with stressed out teachers, stressed out leaders, and they really need some direction with behavior. And oh my gosh, do we have a lot to talk about? And I know Josh would love to be here, so we'll have to have you on for part two, which I know will happen. Okay.
Sounds
Okay.
good.
So listeners, here's the deal. We're talking with Lainey because she has this great information about gratitude and science behind it and how it's going to help you lead your team to help student behavior. So let's start with what is one quick actionable thing that pops up in your mind, Lainey, about what leaders can do today with gratitude?
I have this word that I love, and it's actually the first step in gratitude, and it's notice. And I think it's really easy to lead a busy, distracted life. And I think that it's so important that we just take some time to notice all the good around us. And I think when we notice that in our educators, in learners of all ages, when we notice that in kids, it makes a huge difference because we start to get the benefit of going, oh my gosh, there's this good around me. And then if we can actually articulate that, share that in a way that is comfortable for us as well as the person who's on the receiving end, we're going to get all these benefits of gratitude. So just like in this moment that you're catching me, if you ask me tomorrow, I might give you a different answer. But as we're heading into 2026, it's pretty new to us, and I think noticing is essential. So that's just one thing that popped to my mind really quickly.
Well, I love that because as a clinician, I use notice all the time with my clients, all the time. And it's part of healing because you can't make the change unless you do have the notice, the pause. Dr. Julie Hassan says the power of the pause, right? And so many people say the power of the pause, but she does pause and ponder, just the waiting. And I love that, Lainey, because you have to have that notice, that awareness piece in order to make any kind of change, like we just said. So when you're thinking about this as big picture now in the system of education, where does this fit in?
Well, I have a framework, and this is something that actually works beautifully with gratitude, but it actually works pretty much in everywhere. If you were thinking about time management, this would fit too. But I just think about, and maybe I'm not answering your question in the way that you intended, but you can fix me in a minute. So, the thing I think about is how can we notice, evolve, and thrive? So, that noticing, like I said, it is the first step in gratitude. And I think it's so important in just our lives, whether again, time management and what are we putting our time, energy into. But what are we noticing? And then how do we evolve? And I think of that as the habits and the rituals that will make us better, personally and professionally. So what are the things? And I can get into like really specific ones that are just general or specific ones about gratitude. And then how do we thrive? And for me, though, I always connect, and I know that's a word that you care about, Charlie, but that thriving to me in particular is very much focused on social connection and those relationships. Because I'm always trying to think about how can we optimize our happiness, our relationships, and our performance. So for me, that notice, evolve, thrive is a really just a nice way to frame it. And then I can get into, if you want, specifics about like what would that look like. So.
Yeah, well, you're right because system-wide, we have to have a framework. Nobody knows what to do otherwise. So I love that you said that. Okay, let's go with notice. If you were working with a team right now in a school, how would you get them to notice more and what would you have them focus on?
So one thing I think about, and I've written a book about continuous improvement, and one of the things that I feel like we do in education in general is we tend to notice the things that could be better. And so much value in that, right? Because we are in the business of continuous improvement. But what can we notice right now that is really going well? And I love this practice. We've heard of instructional rounds, but I love this practice. I heard Livia Chan in Canada doing this, where they would do like, I think they gave it a different name, but I call it a bright spots walk, where you take time to go into classrooms and with post-it notes put on a wall or on desks. These are the things I saw that was working really well. Kids were engaged. There was so much kindness in this classroom. Your energy is infectious. You know, like these really like important things that are impacting culture and learning. And we don't need to talk about what needs to be fixed right now. Let's notice what's actually working well. We default to, and it's part of our negativity bias, which I know you know, Charlie, we always tend to notice the threat and what's wrong. But we have to really train ourselves to notice the good and what we can say to people about what you're doing really well. Just like a small little technical note, you want to front load people that you're doing a bright spots walk. And that these are going to be positive comments, because what you don't want to do is walk through a teacher's classroom and drop a post-it note on their desk and have them go, "Oh my gosh, what is that about? Is that like something that I did wrong?" So I know principals who do this as like a regular part of their routine. They walk around with sticky notes and a pen, and they are dropping on not just teachers' desks or on teachers' walls, but like on kids' desks. And that's something that like ends up on a refrigerator at home, right? Like my principal walked through today and saw that I was helping another student with this really difficult concept, and that ends up on a post-it note. So it's kind of like similar to a positive call home, but just something that takes even less time and just drop, notice the good. That's what we want to do.
Yeah, and sometimes people just need those little tangible things to do. So they're like, oh, that's so easy to do in my day. It doesn't require a whole block of time. Like you can just go on your own terms and it's fun to do. So we'll get motivated and then this little dopamine kind of drop every time you put that sticky note on. So I love that. I love that. Okay. So that's kind of the first part of noticing. I know you have a million of those, but I do want to give the whole systemic kind of piece within the framework. So the next one is evolve. Tell me another thing that can be done like tomorrow if you're a leader.
Yeah, I mean, you could actually see how that notice could fall into the evolve because it could become a habit, right? So, really, what are the habits and rituals? And I distinguish between habits and rituals because to me, a habit is something that often I necessarily don't want to do, but I want to get in the habit of doing it so it happens. I want to get in the habit of going to the gym. I don't want to have to think about it. I want to remove as much friction as possible, just make it happen. That's a personal example. But a ritual is something that I want to savor. So you could turn the post-it note thing into, and that could be something a classroom teacher does for students too. It could be something that happens around campus. For the people who do the quiet work, like the nutrition services, like custodial services, all these people who contribute to our learning communities. So that is a notice that could turn into an evolve, a habit, or a ritual. But I really like to think about, what are the things that we want to consistently do? I'm thinking of evolving with gratitude and how Dwight Carter was really intentional in that he would have thank you notes in his desk and he would write a few thank you notes at the end of the beginning of his day. I can't remember if he did it both, but you don't have to do it both. Tara Martin, who also was a contributor for that book, she starts her day with three gratitude emails to staff members that are making her life better, or maybe a family member or someone in the community. And that's a great, I would call that a ritual because you want to savor that. Because the best thing about gratitude is that it is beneficial for both the giver and the receiver. So.
Oh, that is so nice. It's so true because it's okay that that happens too. That's actually not selfish and actually energizes you to do that. So I'm glad that you made that point, Lainey, that it benefits both of you.
It does. Another little technical note. One of the things is there are people who do things quietly, and there are people who do things more boldly and out loud. And so it's easy to notice the good in those who maybe are a little more bold and out loud with it. And so I think, and I believe this is something that you do, Charlie. I know this is something that Josh does, is like keeping track of like, is everyone feeling that connection? Is everyone getting honored and seen and heard and valued? Like we want to. And not like in a transactional way, but in an authentic way of like, I just want to make sure I haven't neglected anyone.
That's right, because if you're thinking of a system, it's so essential. Every single person is contributing to the system somehow. And sometimes it's fractured, and that doesn't necessarily mean something's wrong with the person, but sometimes something's disconnected. So if you already established that connection, then it's easier to reach out to that person to help figure out what can be improved. But also, you're right. If you leave someone out,
Yeah.
that they're not feeling a part of that culture or that connected system.
Yeah, and I think about, and this actually maybe goes more towards the Thrive. I'm pretty sure you're familiar with the Gottmans work, Charlie. John Gottman, in particular, I'm thinking of his work on praise to correction, also bids for connection. Like these are the things that people may have heard before, but they're so fundamentally important. I think it bears repeating. Like I think about the praise to correction ratio. So, and you and I have talked about this before. Now, the fun thing is there's not like necessarily a magic ratio, but there are ratios that have been shown to be like the most beneficial. So five positives to one constructive piece of feedback. And I think that as educators, that's really tough. We want to fix like the period is missing in this piece of writing, or this is, this is not exactly correct, and we want to fix everything. It makes it hard, but not necessarily everything needs to be fixed. And we want to focus on how can we holistically looking at an individual, how can we make sure that they feel like we're seeing the good in them? It is so, in my experience, detrimental to communities when people don't get that feeling of they see the good in me. And we just see that manifest in a lot of behaviors. And so when someone is challenging me, when I'm in a point of friction with someone, the first thing I think about is what is my praise to correction ratio? And it's not like I'm sitting there with, I don't have like one of those, like they do at the stadiums, like a clicker. Like, here's my positive clicker and here's my negative clicker. I don't have one of those, but it's pretty easy when I'm in friction with someone to step back and go, have I expressed to them what they're doing well? 100% of the time, it's on me. I haven't done that. Now, that's not to say that there aren't people who would struggle and have, challenging behavior that has nothing to do with me, but a lot of times, at least, it does have to do with me.
It just shows you that there's something you can always be doing. And that doesn't mean to add to the workload. It just means, what did I miss? What am I missing here? And you're not going to maybe solve the whole problem. You're certainly not going to fix people. But if you see people or hear people or make those connections and notice, right? Just notice, that can be so powerful. Sometimes it's a life or death situation in the work that I do, but it can be like that systemically too, or the life and death of your whole school culture or climate. So I love that you addressed that. It's awesome.
Well, and Charlie, your work is so important, and it does really hit me in the heart when we're talking about life or death. And it's just when we think about these individuals who are really struggling, and honestly, most people at some point or another are struggling very deeply. And to think about, we have the opportunity to help them in their darkest time. Like it's a lot, you and I were talking about before we hit record, like that we can, as people in helping professions, as educators, we can feel like we almost matter too much, but it's opportunity. It's not all on us, but we do have these opportunities to make people's lives better.
Yeah, I see the genuine emotion on your face. Like,
It's really
wow.
hard to think about kids who are struggling and adults who are struggling, and I just, yeah, it's hard when you see someone going through a really difficult time and you're worried about them.
Yeah, there's so much. That's a whole another episode. I mean, there's so much there, but it can be addressed and should be addressed because it is something really big affecting people today in the system. And I don't want to miss that last piece. I know you talked about Thrive, but I want to get to that. But first, I want to say also, like, you're not only helping people in education, like, you're helping people in these systems. So even though we're focusing on education and student behavior and the behavior of our staff that we're trying to support, wow, the impact you are making in the helping profession in general. And then in the corporate, like, anybody listening who wants to look at their staff and do like corporate wellness, like, you're the perfect person to bring them in because this message resonates everywhere, everywhere. So tell about the
I
work you're
appreciate
doing there and these other organizations or industries, because I know it's impactful.
It's interesting because I think that just to give the kudos to education, I do think we do a lot of things right. And what I tend to see as a struggle in the corporate space is, and I don't love the term soft skills at all.
No, neither.
It's like actually I bristle at it. But I see in the corporate space, a lot of times it is overlooked these relationships and how we need to. So I'll even connect that to Thrive, which is that last one in the framework. And this one isn't necessarily specific to gratitude, except that it's about relationships. And I mentioned it earlier, so I didn't want to forget about it. But those bids to connect for connection, bids for connection that the Gottmans talk about. And they talk about how there's three ways to respond to a bid for connection. And one is to, turn away, to kind of ignore it. Another is to turn against, which is to have kind of anger or maybe impatience, or it's a negative. They're both negative, and one could argue that turning away, ignoring is almost worse. And then the other is the one that we want is the turning towards, and that's to make them feel seen and heard. So whether we're talking about in a corporate space or in an education space, we don't want to miss these bids for connection. They're small, it might be a 3 second thing, but the response in that 3 seconds makes all the difference, and it's things that really have a huge impact on the individual relationships, but also the overall, climate and culture. So we want to really focus on, and it's not easy. I mean, especially there's, I mean, everyone has their challenges, whether you're in a corporate space or a helping profession. And I think I read somewhere that it's like thousands of decisions that an educator has to make in a day. And it's a lot. And so when someone comes for that, like, hey, I have a quick question, it's very easy to not turn toward. It's very easy to be like, okay, I already explained this, or in a minute. It's hard, but really those things that we do are so important. So what I love to do, whether it's with a corporate group or whoever, education obviously is my home. I've been in education for almost 30 years, is I just want to give people these very practical things that they can do. Like, Charlie, your rapid resets are so amazing because they're so practical and actionable. And so I really try and give people just these little bit of science-backed insights that can help people, whether it's talking about the praise to correction ratio or bids for connection or a lot of other ones. I share them on Instagram and YouTube a lot just because they're the things that I learn about that are helpful in the spaces that I work in, and they're science-backed, and I like to help other people with them. So
It's true. Like, there's just so many ways this can go, right? Because you can just help so many people. And it is important to understand how. So, you were very clear about that. And I want people to know that if they go to your Instagram, if they go there, they're going to see a lot of these clips, you talking to other people, you showing all these practical tools and strategies too that can be just acquired so quickly and easily, because that's what people need. So, I'm glad about that. Is there anything else we need to say about that? Because I like people to know to go there.
well, I'll just say that one thing that I'm working on right now that I'm super excited about is I write for Thrive Global. And so that's a platform, and I love that I get this opportunity to talk with like a Pulitzer Prize winner and a leading neuroscientist. And my degree is in psychology. So, Charlie, we have this, background of psychology and education, and I love to find where those worlds come together. I love to nerd out and be like, okay, yeah, we might intuitively know this, but what's the science say we should do about it? And so it's been really fun interviewing these experts, professors from Yale and Harvard and Stanford and Berkeley and all these really like thought leaders that have stretched my thinking and helped me bring that into different spaces, whether it's education or corporate or any helping profession. So that's just kind of been something that's been a focus of mine over the recent years.
That's awesome. I mean, it really is. It makes you so accessible because we can reach them through you, and you just bring that to the plate for everybody. I love it. I
That's
love
my
it.
gosh.
I told you, I watch it all the time. I love
You're so
it.
sweet. Thank you.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so what other projects do people need to know about for you? I know, like, listeners need to know that if they're looking for a keynote on this topic, wow, Lainey, you can nail it. So that's another thing. How do people find you, and what else do you need them to know that you're working on?
Yeah, so I do, as a lot of writing, a lot of speaking, and all these things are things that I care about getting out. So if you can bring me as a keynote, that's amazing. If the timing or the budget doesn't work for that, I've got books. I've written a few, and my most recent one is Bold Gratitude. And Charlie, you're always very generous to say that this is a resource that you actually use. Not to put words in
Absolutely.
your mouth, but
No,
you
that was coming. That was coming. You
know.
just beat me to
Yeah, so the books are accessible that way. And then I also have a ton of free resources on my website. So I really want to make these things as accessible as possible. So you can go to laineyrowell.com and there's a resources button, and just, fill out the form and you'll get access to it. And I hope there's something there. I really do love talking about gratitude. Gratitude has been a huge part of recent years' work, kind of bring me back to my psychology roots. I also love to talk about time management and how we can be unbusiest, because that's like a fun word to say. Not about, I have to tell you, Cal Newport has this tagline. I'm like so jealous that I didn't come up with this tagline because it's so do less, do better, know why. And I think that's like so important because I feel like it's very easy just to kind of start checking things off the list. But I really like to talk to people about how we can be the best use of our time, not doing more necessarily, but just really where do we focus that finite amount of time that we have. So,
That's great.
So
Yeah.
I think that might be most of it. We're coming back from the new year, Charlie. My brain's
No.
a little in vacay mode still, but I really do love connecting with people. So if you go to my website and grab some resources, we can stay connected, and that would be awesome.
Yeah, there are a ton there. When you are a speaker at our last summit, all the resources you had on that page, I'm like, what? I signed up for it, for crying out loud. There's a lot there, so it's
Good.
great. Yeah.
Trying to add as I get more of them. So, especially more gratitude practices, because there's really cool gratitude practices that most people don't know about. Like, I love the counterfactual thinking practice, which is you think of someone important or an important event, and you go through a process where you actually remove the person or the event. Think about what your life would be like. It's kind of a sliding doors activity, but I actually make up new gratitude practices on my own that are science backed, and I add them to the free resources. So
Wow.
I've got new ones coming all the time.
That's awesome. Oh my goodness. Okay. Well, I know that there's so much more we're going to talk about. We're going to have to do a part two when Josh is here because I know he will like demand that because I want to talk to you. So we'll do that.
I just want to talk to him, and I'd love to, like I said, I'd love to connect with your listeners. So,
For sure. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Lainey. This was a pleasure. And I know everybody listening is going to just love to get all your free stuff, but also your book and just access to your keynote. So, because your framework is really incredible because it's so simple but actionable. So I love it. So thank you.
oh, well, thank you. And I do a news. Sorry, one more thing. I do a newsletter, so if anyone wants to. If you sign up for the resources, you'll get that, and the resources are tied to the Notice, Evolve, and Thrive. So,
Right. And then they just keep coming. They keep coming. And your Instagram's huge. That's a really important place to go to. Okay. Well, thank you so much again, Lainey. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
always a pleasure. Thank you, Charlie. Thank you all.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. We'll see you on the next episode.